Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. I heard the rain pounding on my window a few hours ago. Like, oh boy, the marble. But once again, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. This morning's topic, I just found out, just actually listened to, Rabbi Sharfman gave a share on this topic 8 years ago, number 44 in the series, and people are welcome to listen to it. Baruch Hashem, I think the structure of this share is slightly different than that one, and Baruch Hashem, there's what to be gained by both. They fit together well. We entitled today's share, A Bris Without a Bagel. Now, I guess technically there are a few scenarios of how you could be by a bris where you ain't going to get a bagel. And I don't mean when there's a big crowd. You know, right? A fast day bris would be one that you would not get a bagel, though there are cases they'll push off the bris maybe sometime until later, have the suda with it at the end of the fast. On Pesach, that's a bris without a bagel. I went to one this year. It wasn't the same. Putting cream cheese on your matzah doesn't cut it the same way as a bagel. But really, what I'm talking about today, a bris without a bagel, is Shabbos. The Shabbos bris milah. You know, it's funny, there are certain staples. You know, you go to Shalom Zachar, you expect the Arvis to be there. You know, I'm surprised. I haven't seen any caterer put out bagels by a Shabbos bris. I mean, it's bread, you know, instead of challah rolls, you can have bagels. But that's a symbolic, you know. Somebody once asked me, why is a bagel a Jewish food? You know, I think a bagel really comes from a bris. People think, in yeshiva, we used to joke, you know, you find out someone had a child, you ask, was it a bagel or a donut? Because by the girls in yeshiva, we would just have donuts. You know, by the boys, we'd have a bris. It was a bagel or a donut. A bagel is synonymous with a bris. But on Shabbos, we call it the bris without a bagel. So I'd like to talk today about a Shabbos bris, which is quite unique. And we're going to go through today some of the reasons why a Shabbos bris is quite unique. I want to go through some of the halachas, followed by a few major questions and the whole underpinnings of this idea of having a bris on Shabbos. Full disclosure, I have an affinity to this topic. At least I'm told I have an affinity to this topic. Because my own bris happened to be on Shabbos.
But these
are... My mother told me, you know, I was born in the middle of winter in New York City, pretty rough winter. And I think I was born in a snowstorm, my bris was snowing. And even the shilas of who was going to be the mole for my bris, my mother told me they knocked off the first candidate because he was an older person, and they were worried what would be Shabbos morning if there's a real, you know, start snowing, the snowstorm would be hard for him to come. So, you know, that was part, I assume they didn't serve bagels by my bris. So, the source of a bris milah happening on Shabbos, that you do the bris milah on Shabbos, really performing a bris milah on Shabbos in the most basic form is a bichiddush, because milah involves cutting a child, which the poskim talk is one of, or sometimes multiple malachas. It's chovel, maybe gziza. Different malachas are involved in performing a bris milah, and normally we would say that's chilul Shabbos. However, the Torah says, in fact, the pasuk in this past week's parsha, that's what brought us there, that you do perform a bris milah on Shabbos. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's the source for everything. Very interesting Gemara. The Gemara is having discussion about mitzvos which were repeated in the Torah. And basically, mitzvos that were repeated in Torah apply both to Jews and non-Jews. Kodesh Matan Torah, Post Matan Torah, we say those mitzvos apply to both. So the Gemara challenges, V'hare Mila shenemru v'nei Noach, Mila which was said to b'nei Noach, t'ksiv v'yatnes b'risi tishmar, v'nishnes v'sinai. And it was repeated by Har Sinai, v'yom ha-shemini yimo, the pasuk in this passage is Parsha. And that we know is a mitzvah, which we say, l'yisrael nemru v'lo v'nei Noach. We don't believe, right, the mitzvah of Bris Mila is specific to Jews. But if there's a general rule, if a mitzvah which was talked about before Matan Torah, then again is repeated in the Torah post-Matan Torah, that mitzvah applies to both Jews and non-Jews. So Mila we have recorded before Matan Torah, repeated after Matan Torah. So why is it that in practice, Bris Mila is only a mitzvah for Jews, but not for non-Jews? Answers the Gemara, Hahu l'mishrei Shabbos u'da'asa. The reason why the mitzvah of Mila is repeated, this passage Parsha and Parshas Tazria, is to permit Mila on Shabbos for a special reason. Therefore, this doesn't fit in the general klal of a mitzvah which is repeated post-Sinai, which apply to both. But you see from this Gemara that Bris Mila is mutar on Shabbos, because the pasuk says of Yom Hashmi Himo, and we darshan biyom va'afil b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, one performs a bris meal. Now we're going to talk much about this pasuk a little bit later, but you see, there's a clear pasuk telling us that you do perform a bris mila on Shabbos, even though that involves being doche, pushing aside Malachas Yisurim, otherwise one can't do on Shabbos. Now, what I'd like to do is first go through some of the basic halachas that come with Bris Mila on Shabbos. So we'll turn to the Shulchan Aruch, it's in the middle of your sheets, it's in Hilcha Shabbos, Simen Shin Laman Aleph. First halacha says, Osim kol tzorchi Mila b'Shabbos. We do all the needs of Mila for Shabbos. Molin, uporim, utzitzim, v'nosim, lovam, kamon. Now, personally, I'm not a doctor, and there's a reason for it. Especially these things. Yeah, and these things make me a little nauseous. I'm not in the mood to eat bagels. I wouldn't be a mole. But I'm not going to go through all the pratim of Hilchos Mila while you chew on your Danish. But the basic idea is that Bris Mila, it's mutter to perform the entire process of Bris Mila from A to Z, all the halachas 100%. Once we give you a heter to cut to perform the Mila, you could do all the clear chiyuvim of Mila. And I left out the halacha beis. I chose random halachas, but halacha beis puts in, there is an idea of some aspects of Mila we consider hiddur mitzvah. Again, not to be too graphic, but there are levels of clarity but how smooth the bris was done, different molim, different situations, some can be more smooth than others. And sometimes a mold, quote-unquote, goes back to make it smoother. So there's a debate. That would only be considered hiddur mitzvah, not the mitzvah itself. So the Mechaber talks about that as long as it was considered within one motion, then the mold could do the hiddur mitzvah element to it. But once he finished, on Shabbos one can't go back. Talk about doing that later. Okay. Now, correct. Now, That's the basics of what you do. Really, where the halachas of Shabbos come in is really what I want to focus on, the next two aspects, which are, when can't you do a bris meal on Shabbos? And even when you do it, what are the limitations in doing it? So for the most part, we talked about what you could do. Now, there's multiple scenarios of why you can't do a bris, of when you can't do a bris meal on Shabbos. And this is really a reason why, everyone can probably think back in their own lives, how many bris milas have they gone to on Shabbos? I'll tell you this. Probably the most common day on the Jewish calendar for a bris is Sunday. Now, that's not just because people are off and it's a great day to make a bris, right? Your bill on a bris is probably a little bit higher because more people coming eating bagels than the average Tuesday morning where people are rushing to work. But Sunday is the most common day for a bris. And the reason for that is there are many cases of brisim which have to be pushed off from Shabbos, which normally might be the eighth day, or the day you would do the bris, have to be pushed off. So therefore, if it's pushed off from Shabbos, it's going to be done on Sunday. So that's why the most common day for a bris is Sunday. Right? All the push-ups end off on Sunday. Sunday becomes bris day. Now, what cases are pushed off from Shabbos? So Siv Gimel talks about interesting halachas. A preemie, a baby that was born before the end of the 9 months, many times those brisim are pushed off. They won't be done right away. And that might be a case which would be pushed off Pol Shabbos. Now it's interesting. In the times of the Gemara, they had this idea. And for the most part, I checked with some people, it carries through. There's a difference the Gemara talks about between a baby born in the 7th month and a baby born in the 8th month. Which, interestingly, the Gemara, and there is scientific and medical data to support such an idea, is a baby's chance of living born in the 7th month to be higher than a baby born in the 8th month. And the Gemara talks about a baby born in the 7th month, we would do a bris meal on Shabbos. An 8th day baby, not. Now, nowadays, again, there are incubators and there's lots of different advancements in medicine. And many poskim say, you know, it's all a call on where the baby's holding, how healthy the baby is, vis-a-vis, would you perform a bris mila for that child on a Shabbos? Or is it more in a trickier state? And you tell them, no, push it off to after Shabbos. But that's one category Siv Gimel talks about. Siv Dalet, Milo Shalo Bismano Eino Dolcha Shabbos. Any Milo which is Shalo Bismano is not Dolcha Shabbos. You know, let's say the most classic case, a child is yellow, it's bilirubin is high. So, other issues you could have. So, usually the way it works is, okay, the child not well, we push off the bris until the doctor gives us a green light. But once the doctor gives us a green light, it kicks in the idea by bris mila of Zrizim Akdimim. Zrizim Akdimim is a very important idea in bris mila. We want to do the bris as soon as we can. So therefore, once you get a green light from a doctor, you perform the bris. Right? That also makes for, you know, harried preparations. Right? You tell your family and friends, okay, there might be a bris, you know, quick, let's send out an email, ASAP, there's a bris coming. Like, not so simple. But really, that's the idea, it's Zrizim Akdimim. As soon as you get the green light, you run with it. So what happens if the doctor gives you a green light Friday afternoon? Okay, do we perform a Shabbos bris? The answer is no. That's a Milo Shlo Bismano. It was already pushed off. Once it's pushed off, it's not performed on Shabbos. An additional halacha, in Sif Hay, it talks about a case of a Yotzi Dofin. A Yotzi Dofen, in the Gemara's time, seems like they did it with certain medicines and different forms. Nowadays, the most practical idea of Yotzi Dofen is what you call a C-section. A child born through not normal delivery, but rather through a C-section. Gemara talks about it. We end up posketing that that bris is not performed on Shabbos. Now, these type of things are very important. You know, Rabbi Pesach Kron, for example, you know, it's interesting. You know, he's a rabbi. He's been doing the speaking circuit for years. You ever realize he walks around without a beard? And the reason, I remember hearing from him years ago, is because he's very involved also in doing performing brisim for non-firm Jews. And he spoke to one of his rebbeim years ago. They told him not to make you look imposing in this. It's probably smarter for you to walk around without a beard. That's what he's done. And I know Rabbi Pesach Kron performs brisim for many, many families which are not religious. Far, not Orthodox. Far from religion. And a lot of times these situations, people know the basic idea. Okay, yeah, child was born 8 days. But as a mole, there are a lot of questions you have to ask. This is one of the questions. What type of delivery was it? Hey, Rabbi, why are you getting so personal? Well, there are halachic reasons behind it. If it's a C-section, the halacha would be that that bris is not performed on Shabbos. It's not docha Shabbos. It's, as we listed before, it's doing a bris on Shabbos is a special thing. It's not simple. Being docha isurim. So there are limitations to this din, the Torah said, that we do perform a bris on Shabbos. The Gemara goes through. There are multiple limitations. So a C-section would be one of them. I saw an interesting tshuva that Shlomo Zalman talks about. Nowadays, there are multiple other artificial forms, not a C-section, but even in a regular delivery, there are multiple forms of instruments that can be used to help a woman give birth. And Shlomo Zalman paskin on these, that no, that's still considered a regular birth, and one would perform a bris on Shabbos in those scenarios. So even if the woman needed assistance of different tools, instruments that they use, as long as it wasn't a C-section, that bris could be performed on Shabbos. Now really, the biggest issue, and this is something which people are quite nervous of, and really this does apply not just to Shabbos, it really applies to every day, bris milah, is what time was the baby born? And really, this is a topic which I love to do myself because I just thought of a good name. The halachic black hole. Bein hashmashas. Bein hashmasa is literally the halachic black hole. That's what they call the twilight zone. Bein hashmashas, the period post... Right? I'm excited. I want to give a share just because I have a good name. What comes first, the name of the share or the share? This share came first. I had the share, but I like the name of Bris and Bris without the bagel. But I want to give a share in Bein HaShemashos just because of that. But Bein HaShemashos, the time which you have post Shkia, before it's definitely night, is a major, major halachic black hole. And really, on a daily basis, if a child is born in Bein HaShemashos, so then you have a question. If it was born Tuesday, is that a Tuesday bris? Is that a Wednesday bris? What is it? So it's very tricky. I remember, at least with one of my kids, I remember like sitting there looking at my watch exactly. Okay, what time is it going to be? No, not simple. And on Shabbos, it really is confounded because we know a bris Bein HaShemashos, child born Bein HaShemashos, does not get a bris in Shabbos. Now, what exactly is the time for this? We'll talk about in a moment. But the Mishnah Berurah points out a very important step, that on Shabbos, not only is it more applicable because of the shayla whether there's a bris or not, but you get it both ways. Talk about your head spinning. the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Noel bin Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos to Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos to Motzi Shabbos. Mishneihem Ein Milas Adocha Shabbos and Nidchol Yom Rishon. Amazing. If your child is born Friday afternoon, Friday Eve, Bein Hashmashos, that fits that period, Bein Hashmashos, you're not going to get a bris on Shabbos. We'd have to push off that bris to Sunday. Right? We're not going to do it earlier on Friday because maybe it's later Shabbos. So really, this is one of those riddles. You know, when there's a baby born, you end up having a bris for no medical reason, pushing it off for a couple of days. So really, it could be the baby's bris is Friday. But we can't do Friday because it might be Shabbos. But we can't do Shabbos because it's Shabbos. It might be Shabbos. Right, it might be Friday. So we push it off to Sunday. But there's the other part to the whole. If a baby is born Saturday Eve, at the end of Shabbos, so is that Shabbos? Is that Motzi Shabbos? Also involves this suffix of Bein Hashmashos. And therefore it's also pushed off to Sunday. So either way, on either side of Shabbos, if you get into that black hole, you get pushed off to Sunday. This is, again, clear reason why we have many brisim on Shabbos. Many cases fall into this. Excuse me, on Sunday. Now, there's more to this. What exactly, when is the period of Bein Hashmashos? So, there are many, many shitas. There's the Gaonim shita, there's the famous Rabbeinu Tam shita. There are many nuances, we'll see, poskim have on Bein Hashmashos. And most poskim say, you have to take both shitas l'chumra. Meaning the following. Let's say I normally keep what they call 72 minutes. Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Rabbeinu Tam Shita, in its classic form, to be honest, here in Florida, Yaakov Kamenetsky held that there's reason to say that Rabbeinu Tam Shita is not 72 minutes. It's actually less than that. But let's say, for simplistic reasons, that you have 72 minutes. So that means, in terms of Shabbos, you're going to end Shabbos later than others who are not keeping Rabbeinu Tam, because you're waiting for 72 minutes. And other people are going with the earlier Zman. Okay. So that's what you call Chumrah in terms of Shabbos. You're keeping Shabbos later because you're using the Chumrah of Rabbeinu Tam. But that could also be used, Lakula. Because if I'm keeping Shabbos till 72 minutes after Shabbos, hey, if a kid is born during Rabbeinu Tam time, every week I keep 72 minutes. So this is a Shabbos baby. So let's do the bris on Shabbos. No, no, no. You can't use Rabbeinu Tam l'chula. It's only l'chumra. And therefore that baby, most poskim say, would not get a bris on Shabbos. That baby would be considered.
Why wouldn't you ever think that you should get a bris on Shabbos if you held like Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam himself is that twilight period. If I care, it's worse.
So, okay.
In other words, the Bein Hashmashos is in itself a suffix. We're not sure what that time is.
Right.
So Rabbeinu Tam, if anything, extends the time
of Suffolk
further, and a Suffolk.
You're right. Sorry. I said over bed.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Rabbeinu Tam holds the arch. As a Bein Hashmashos only starts 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's a different feat. Right. That would be the
right.
Rule of Rabbeinu Tam.
Okay. Right.
That would be the other way. If you held, that's a different piece of Rabbeinu Tam.
Okay. You're right. Correct. Yes. So as long as you're within a black hole of
anybody's hole,
anyone's halachas, you're getting knocked off to Sunday. Correct. Now, on top of that, it's interesting. There are shitas. I'll give you an example. Moshe Feinstein, But Moshe Feinstein holds the period of Shkia only starts 8 minutes after sunset.
In New York.
So that means, my same cheshbon is, yeah. So that means if a baby is born 5 minutes after Shkia in New York, that's still the last day. And it was known, this I heard from one of Moshe's chief Talmidim, that they would perform brisim with that cheshbon. Now, I don't remember succinctly, even on Shabbos, I don't remember if we asked that question. I don't remember that. Huh? But right, let's say on a Tuesday, if you have the Shiloh, before you get into Benesh Mashos, the baby's born 5 minutes after Shkia. If Moshe held 5 minutes after Shkia in New York, yeah, that's still considered part of the last day. And you would perform the bris of the earlier day. But there are others who argued. Okay. So timing issues really do matter. You have to know what time it is. I saw a tshuva brought down. Can you rely on the nurse writing down the birth certificate? The timing of it? Interesting. Right? How careful are the nurses to put the exact time? Or are they just estimating? So I saw different things brought out. I saw one posik say, well, if you live in a town where there are lots of Jews, and you know the Jews are going to harass the nurse, what time was it? Exactly what time? Like, you could, for sure, in that case, you for sure could rely that they're getting it right. But yeah, it probably depends on the hospital and the circumstances, how exact it is. Because, really, minutes count. Exactly what time it is, are you outside of that black hole of Bein HaShemashos or not, really could depend to the minute of what that nurse, what you're seeing at the time. A lot of times I see now in the delivery rooms, they have these huge clocks, you know, the milliseconds up there, like very clear, you know, as long as you're paying attention, you can see it.
When is the child born? When the
Excellent.
Body is out?
They ask that question too. Yes. They ask that question too, and that's also part of a Shiloh. What's considered a full birth when the child's out? These are all topics which, you're right, which their minutes matter. And exactly when it's considered the beginning and amazing. One last halachic area I'd like to talk about before I get into a broader discussion about this concept of Bris Milah on Shabbos with some of the questions that are asked by both the Rishonim and the Achronim. One last aspect is Machshirei Milah. Things which you'd need to do in preparation of the Bris Milah. So that the Mechaber brings in Sif Vav. Still on the first side of your sheet. Machshirei mitzvah she'efshar la'asot in erev Shabbos. Things which are preparation for Milah, which could have been done before Shabbos. Einam dochem es ha-Shabbos. That will not be docha Shabbos. Now we said before, the actual Bris Milah, of course, that's Docha Shabbos. But there are certain things which are preparations for Bris Milah that's not part of the actual process itself. And I could have prepared it before Shabbos. The halacha is, we'll only Docha things which are absolutely needed, but not Machshirei Milah. The examples, Lefikach, Imhevi Izmo Lamilah Me'er of Shabbos, Lo Yivena B'Shabbos. Afil B'Malkam She'im B'Lel Yisra D'Rabbanan. Now, let's say the mole forgot his knife. The knife is something, all the tools the mole needs to perform the Bris Milah should be brought to the place before Shabbos. Because that he could do. And to violate even an Issa D'Rabbanan is something we wouldn't do. Talk about Omer Le'ena Yehudi. That they perhaps permit, came up in a share earlier this year, because that's considered shvus to shvus b'makal mitzvah.
What do? You push the bris off till Sunday?
So,
if you forget,
yeah.
You can't just find any knife.
Yeah.
Can
you
rely on the
aid
of the
parents? So, we're talking in a case where there is no Erev. You're right. If there would be an Erev, that would be different. Now, that itself is a big deal. Right? I grew up in Brooklyn. Talk about never seeing a bris on Shabbos. You know, bris on Shabbos in Brooklyn only happen in houses because they're not bringing the baby to shul.
No,
there's no Erev. So, you know, I definitely remember being in a couple of bris, but it's always in a house. But, you know, Baruch Hashem, where there is an Erev in the community, you could bring the baby to shul and you could have the bris in shul. Now, look in the Mishnah Berurah over here. Talk about bringing the baby. The bottom Mishnah Berurah, Chaf, the second line. Mekol makom, in a scenario where there is no Erev, Aser lo havi atino to beis hakneses, derech chaser sheinu merevis, afilo adeinu Yehudi. We would say you can't bring a child to the bris in a place where there's no Erev, even through a guy. We just before talked about, if we're stuck, we would use a guy b'makom mitzvah, shvus l'shvus b'makom mitzvah. Mishbura writes, the ha'yichom l'molo b'beiso. Hey, you don't have to bring the baby to shul. So, do the bris in the house. The harvi pa'amim molin b'bayis k'shiyetz tzina. It's not many times, it's very cold outside, not bringing the kid, my case, in the middle of a snowstorm out. So yeah, they do it in the house. And now he has another interesting halacha. And look how careful the halacha is.
What about the knife?
Oh, we'll talk about that. There. Look how careful the halacha is in these scenarios. Ukshet sarach lahotzi atinu mibeis lachatz sheinu merevis el izma amunach sham. And when there are scenarios, you have to take out the kid. Motar ayidei in Yehudi kivin the lachel rishus rabim. Okay, there's heterim if it's not real deraisa carrying the kamakom tov yosel lahavia izmo el yidei in Yehudi latinok. It's better to bring the knife to the child than the child to the knife and the instruments that the mole needs. Dim yavia tinok el izmo yitzarach acher mio lahavter old apam shvus to shvus lahachser atinok eitzol aim. Masha enkein kishu yavia izmo atinok. If you have a question, the mole has his stuff in one place, the child's in another place. Zakta Mishnah Berurah, you know what the better halacha is? It's better for you to bring the instrument to the child than bring the child there.
I think there were 7,000 people passed the baby one through.
That's an interesting halacha Shabbos,
guys. Get everyone involved.
That's an interesting halacha Shabbos, assembly one.
Don't tell
that. Yes. Lots of kibudim, huh? You have a big family. Lots of kibudim. But Lemaisa, look how the Mishnah Berurah is weighing it. It's better to bring the instruments to the child because then you can leave them there after Shabbos. If you're going to bring the child out, you can also have to bring the child back. And even though, again, they're heterim, my day in Yehudi, shvus v'shvus b'makom mitzvah, but as much as we could limit it, the better. Okay, so this is an overview. There are many halachas, but this is an overview of the halachas of Bris Milah on Shabbos. Number one, the basic idea that you could perform the entire process of Milah from beginning to end on Shabbos. Number two, Hidr Mitzvah, within that is only within one action, not multiple actions. There's a long list of scenarios which a bris would not be performed on Shabbos. You know, anything involving a suffix, the child's health, meal shlo bezmano, C-sections, and the bin hashmasos black hole. And finally, the machshiri mila are things which ideally everything should be set and be prepared before Shabbos. So therefore, you're only going to do the malachas that you need to do on Shabbos, but everything else is already there. Now, what I would like to talk about now is a very interesting fundamental question which the Rishonim ask about Bris Milah on Shabbos. Now, we know, we just talked about, there's a pasuk in this week's Torah, reading, which tells us you perform a bris milah on Shabbos. And fine. Okay? I see that. I see the pasuk. I see the Gemara. But really, we should be scratching our head, especially after I just talked about scenarios, bringing the knife, bringing the kid. Wait, what happens on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. We don't blow shofar. Why don't we blow shofar? Oh, we're afraid the rabbis make a tzera. Someone might carry the shofar to shul. We're very nervous about hotzah. We don't just mess around, you know, with these things. So Chazal made a tzera. No shofar on Shabbos. Afraid they're going to bring it. What about lulav on Shabbos? Do we do lulav on Shabbos? Nope. Well, if it's for a mitzvah, we would use it. Wouldn't be a problem with muksa. The only reason why it is a problem, because we made it zero. Once again, we're afraid you're going to bring it into, you know, if you won't bring it in the shul beforehand, you're going to bring it on Shabbos. We carry it for amos, the lulav. Megillah. All these cases, Chazal are famous for making it zero, outlawing the bringing of these objects even before Shabbos, because we're afraid some will forget and some will bring it on Shabbos. Chazal was so afraid and so nervous of a person being over. It's a big, it's a deraisa, malacha, carrying the Rishus HaRabim, Dal Amos is a significant thing. And Chazal made it zero in all these cases to outlaw it. Bris Mila, it's twofold. You have issues of bringing the kid, you have issues of bringing the equipment. Why do we permit a Bris Mila to happen on Shabbos? Why don't we make the same gzera of Shema Yavirenu? And it's very likely that such a thing could happen. In fact, we just talked about it. So why isn't there a gzera of Shema Yavirenu Daud Amos like we make by Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, like we make by Lulav on Sukkos, like we make on Megillah by Purim? Why don't we have the same exact zero outlawing a Bris on Shabbos, and you never would see a Bris on Shabbos? So this question is asked by the Rishonim. Fascinating question. And I came across four different answers in the Rishonim, which are all very interesting. First answer is a Tosfos that appears in the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says, Megillah b'Shabbos lo karinam. We never read the Megillah, Megillah Esther, on Shabbos. My taima amaraba kol chayavim b'kriyas Megillah. Everyone's chayiv. V'enakol b'kim b'mikra Megillah. And there are people that are not such buckies in the halachas of Megillah. Right, people can make mistakes in Shabbos. People can make mistakes in Megillah. So it's a gzeira shemiyat lan biyado v'yelach etzobaki lomot. Maybe you're going to take your Megillah in your hand and go to somebody. Hey, teach me the Megillah. Read to me the Megillah. The Avarenu arba amos b'shus harabim, and they're going to pass four amos b'shus harabim, be over on carrying on Shabbos. V'ayinu time of the shofar, v'ayinu time of the lulav. The Gemara Megillah says, this is why we make a gzera by shofar. This is the reason we make a gzera by lulav. So Tosos right over there is bothered by our question. What about Mila? Say the same thing by Mila. So the first answer Tosos gives, you know what? I want to do the second answer first. Let's skip to Vigam. He says, Vigam, third line, Vigam ein adam mol el imkein havi baki. The sakana yesh badavar. People are going to do bris milah, only people who are absolute bakim. This gzeira of shem yavi reno daon amos is for a person who's amara, it's a person who doesn't know. But a person who knows the halachas, you wouldn't be nervous of them carrying daon amos for shos harabim. So therefore, since we assume all molim to be experts, we don't have to worry about them carrying their stuff for the bris milah. Very nice answer. Very nice chalak between here and the other cases. I did so though see some people point out that chora, this answer is not perfect. It only answers half of our question. Really, by bris mila, we pointed out there's two aspects to how to ask the question. There's an issue of the mole carrying his equipment to the bris, but there also might be an issue of carrying the baby to the bris. Granted, the mole's a bucky and knows halachos. Who said every parent is? So maybe they'll bring the child. So the same way we have a problem with Chevy Amireno, the mole's going to instruct them not to.
Yeah, well, he brings his knife to the house before Shabbos.
It also seems to be learning the Gemara. I mean, it wasn't necessarily presented that way, but that the problem with all these cases is somebody's going to be presented with an opportunity to do a mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be 100% sure about how to do it. So,
right.
For example, they have to lane, and they don't know exactly how to lane. They have some shiloh. So they're going to go to a bucky, to some expert, to tell them what to do, whether it be by the Megillah, a shiloh
right.
on their lulav, a shiloh. So the parents aren't going to have... The only potential shiloh would be that the mael is going to have some kind of shiloh about the bris. And he's going to bring his knife or something to somebody. Okay, but he explains he won't do that. The parents aren't, what kind of shiloh are they going to have?
No, Lavdal can have a shiloh, but maybe we're afraid.
We're not afraid of that. We're not afraid of that by lulav. That's not the, we're not afraid by lulav that, in other words, we're not afraid by lulav that some guy's going to.
It's not only for shilohs. I don't think they understood that the Shemi Avirano is only for people who have shilohs and go through. No, it's general what you call amaratzis. General lack. That was just a scenario over there. The gzera is not only for those cases. The chur the gzera for all things. I think that's the pashas we always use the gzera.
That's not how Tosa seems to be learning.
Tosa is only saying that lagabe the bucky performing milo, but he's not really addressing. There are other people involved.
Say, and that would be true. What does Bucky got to do with anything? Tosfos should answer, Began ain't other mal, el yikain kam kachum, via day el tushai.
So,
he's a bucky. He's a bucky.
I see that's right. I hear the language, but I believe that's how people understand what Tosfos is saying. Well, let me go back to the first answer of Tosfos. Tosfos says, Avo mila b'shabes ain't litchos. By mila, we're not going to make a gzera pushing off mila. Why? To chamira shekein nichru alav yud gimel brisos. Mila is a very chamer thing. There are 13 brisos, 13 covenants. You think bris mila is a one? There's one bris going on? Really, when you do bris mila, there are 13 covenants, brisim, powerful Judaic heritage ideas going on at that time. And since it's a very chomer Indian, that's why it's something I'm going to push off. Now, that answer is also not so simple. You know, think about what it means to push off shofar. Do you know, the Sfarim talk all about when you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, that changes the Bezin Shamayla from din to rachamim. And there's so many different kavanas and ideas of what shofar does. In fact, all the Mefarshim ask, like, if there's a special schus we have in Rosh Hashanah blowing shofar, when Rosh Hashanah falls down on Shabbos, where's the rachamim? How are we supposed to get that rachamim? You telling me the Bezin Shalmala is now din because there's no shofar? So Rabbi Aaron Cutler has a beautiful answer. He says, just as powerful as hearing the shofar changes the Bezin Shalmala from rachamim to din, from din to rachamim, so too, Jews listening to the words of their chachamim, who made the gzera not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah when it falls down on Shabbos, also changes the Bezin Shamayla from din to rachamim. Big chiddush from Baron Cutler. But it's not simple. Rosh Hashanah will also knocking off major things when making the gzera. Sukkah, potentially in many years, think about it, when the first day of Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, that means nowadays you're not Mekayim the Deraisa of Lachem. Lachem is only the Yom HaRishon. When it's on Shabbos, that means Lachem and Rilu Oker are chance nowadays to do a mitzvah d'oraisa. Now we're doing with Sukkah. You should pay less that year for your, you know, Luv and Esrog. You're not doing the d'oraisa. Mr. Gidelson saying, I'm not getting a discount. I don't know.
And you lose Lulu.
Huh?
Yeah. And you lose Shofar on the same
year. Right. Oh. Talk about a year when you don't have Rachamim. Yes. So this answer, it makes Mila is a big deal. We don't want to push off Mila. But somehow the rabbis found it that we push off Shofar, we push off Sukkah, all these. Yes.
There's a big difference because here we have a second pasuk.
Oh. Very good point. You are hitting on aspects of the next two answers I want to show you. If you look in the back of your sheets, I additionally have, there's a Ritva in Maseches Sukkah. Now, to be honest, my next two answers, I had trouble differentiating. Are they really saying the same, different? The Meiri ends up giving them both. So it definitely sounds like they're different answers. Not so easy to discern. So there's a Ritva in Sukkah, a Membez, that distinguishes between Mila and the other mitzvahs in the following way. Mila is something which we know is a full malacha, right? Performing a bris on Shabbos, the default setting before the Torah said it's mutter, is the Torah is mattering a full malacha. So there, once we already mattered a full malacha, you know what? We also would matter a little durabana. But lav dafka by these other cases was a scenario, something which I'm being matter full malacha. Also durabanans, also other scenarios. Not every case they can be over in Rosh Hashanah Rabban Daud Amos, I guess. So where the Torah already matter the big deal, the full malacha, we're also going to go and not put on you a drabbanan. I'm after the big thing, I'm after the small thing too. Which that exists by Mila doesn't necessarily exist by Shofar, Lulav, and Megillah. That's what the Ritva says. But the Meiri gives another answer. And this is an answer I want to spend a little time on. The Meiri gives an answer the following. Only by Mila does the Torah say we specifically do it even on Shabbos. By these other cases, yeah, I'm supposed to take a lulav, I'm supposed to blow shofar, I'm supposed to read Megillah. But here by Bris Mila, the pasuk in this past week's parsha, clearly we make a drasha, clearly says that you give a Bris Mila b'yom Hashmini, Vafil b'Shabbos. So the Torah is telling us clearly, drasha, you're supposed to do a bris mila on Shabbos. Where the Torah says beferish, do this on Shabbos. Very interesting categorization. The rabbis are not going to come along and say no. In fact, the Taz goes and says this is a klal gadol understanding isuri derabanan. The rabbis will make additionally, surim, gedarim, siyags, fences, protections for mitzvahs. But where the Torah clearly writes, this is mutter, there's no room for the rabbis to go and put on top of any surim. That's what the Taz says based on this Meiri.
Why are we so quick to push it off until Sunday?
So,
the bottom line is, what's more important?
Very good point. Very good point. It still is going to end up being a balance. You're right. What I'm really discussing now is a general idea why there ever is a heter to perform bris mila on Shabbos. Why don't we have the same gzera we have by Shofar, Lulav, and Megillah? But you're right. Even once we're matarit and we do say it, there are still limitations, like we discussed in the first part of the halacha before. So here, the Taz is passing off this Meiri. Says a general rule, if you find the case where the Torah clearly mattered something, The rabbi is not going to come around and put Yisurim on top of it. But the Torah is going in this direction. Who are we to come along and answer it? So I saw the Mepharshim discuss Chavos Yair. Shalos Shuvos Chavos Yair has a question. Torah says, important halacha to know for Jews in the banking industry, and our enemies think all Jews are in the banking industry. But this halacha in particular, the Torah says one is allowed to charge ribbis to Gentiles. Or nachli tishach. Torah says you could charge ribbis interest on Gentiles. Yet, we find that there is an issur d'rabbanan getting involved with Gentiles and charging ribbis. Isn't that an example of something which the Torah clearly permitted? Yet the rabbis make a gzera that one shouldn't get involved. One shouldn't do this.
There's a slight difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference between allowing somebody to do something and telling somebody to do that. Notice by Bris Mila, the Torah was mitzavi you. The Torah never told you that.
No. So the simple.
Mitzvah to lend.
The Torah says is a very positive thing. L'nachri tashach. Right? Torah wants you to get business. Right? Huh. And people of the book, it says in your book, you should charge interest to Gentiles.
It's a mitzvah to charge interest.
So I'm not sure. Right. That's what you really follow us to say. Yeah. It's not a mitzvah. You're right. But the Torah is saying, carte blanche.
And you're going to come along and
the Pasuk says it in the positive. L'nachri tashach. You could. Now, the Chasam Sofer gives a different point, different answer. And this is also very interesting. The Chasam Sofer says, when do we have this rule that if there's a clear, the Torah says, do this, we're not going to make a gzera against it. That's where those two things are operating in the same direction. Torah says, do a bris milah on Shabbos. We're not going to say, oh, I'm worried, I'm nervous, I'm this. Let's make a gzera. Why do you be more nervous than the Torah? Torah says, do this. Torah clearly told you that. The reason behind the rabbis making an isser on charging interest to Gentiles was for a totally different reason. We were afraid of socializing with them, connecting with them, and chas v'shalom, intermarrying with them. That's the reason behind it. That's what you call an outside reason. It's a different reason. Where the Torah said a general rule and you want to stop and put your foot down and go further, that the Taz says, that the Meiri says, we're not going to go against what the Torah clearly says. But in a scenario where the Chazal felt, look, we're afraid of this issue coming up, extra business opportunities could lead to intermarriage. Okay, that's a different reason for Xera, and that we would make, even in a scenario where the Torah says that it's Mutar. So that's one question that the Rishonim ask on doing Bris Milah on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to do it? Why don't we make a zero of Shemi Avireno Daal Amos? The Achronim ask a different question. Another interesting question. Maybe not as powerful as the first. Is Machlokas in the Gemara, can a Gentile be a Mohel? Is a Gentile allowed to perform a Bris Milah? Unfortunately, this is also an issue that comes up. You know, there are certain places where the doctor only, you know, I think there's now some countries that we're making laws only doctors could perform it. If you don't have a Jewish doctor, you have a Gentile doctor performing it. Does that work for Bris Milah? Machlokas. But the Mepharshim asks a question, according to the Tzad, that Gentile could perform a Bris Milah, then how do you ever have a Bris Milah performed on Shabbos? Right? Because they ask a question, Sharmel's question, that why don't you just have a Gentile performing on Shabbos? Why is a Jew being doche Shabbos and being over a malacha of cutting, of chovo, whatever thing, have a Gentile do it on Shabbos? And we never use dechia, we never utilize pushing off a mitzvah where it's efshar b'ofanachah, another way to do it. So this too I found with Chasam Sofer, Shal Shuvas Chasam Sofer, Right, he gives a brilliant answer. Granted, the halacha according to Amman D'Amar is if a Gentile performs a bris on Shabbos, a Gentile performs bris in general, that's considered a kosher bris, and the child's considered he had a bris milah. But there's another aspect of bris milah. Really, the mitzvah bris milah is a mitzvah on the father to do. Really, any time you have a mohel performing a bris, he's a shliach of the father. So if you have a Gentile perform a bris in the child, it might be true the child got a bris, but you, the father, never did it. Because the only person which is an agent for a Jew, shluchos shel adam kamoso, only applies to another Jew, but not a Gentile. So the bris was performed, but it wasn't performed by you. And therefore the Torah always wants you to perform the mitzvah to the fullest degree. You should be yotzei the mitzvah of bris milah on your child. And that's why we would say bris milah is docha Shabbos through a Jew doing it. That's the Chassam Sofer's beautiful answer to Shaar HaMelech's question.
You being the shliach is not the Shabbos.
So that's a bechidush, you're right. So it seems like the Chassam Sofer holds that's part of the chiyuv of the mitzvah of the father to perform himself. And even though the milah could have been done with the nachri, and the gabi that, it's efshar l'kayim shneim. But you're right, I was flabbergasted when I saw that. But that's part of the mitzvah for the father to do it, and we would do the chiyuv even to do the mitzvah in the fullest of terms. Now let me just end off with one thing. You definitely take a listen to Rabbi Sharfman's share on this topic, number 44. I just want to share with you one thing, talk about how far the Baruch Hashem we've come. He found the tshuva from a Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Sefer HaTzvi, where I believe, I listened to it quickly, but it might have been the story happened to Tzvi Pesach Frank himself. In 1940, early Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, one day the Rav came and found a baby on the doorstep. With the baby was a note written in Yiddish. Any of you at the share, I'm sure you remember the story. It was a note written in Yiddish saying that Rachmanel son, then in Israel, financial, everything was very, the financial situation was horrible, there was droughts, and they have no money. There's no way we could care for this child. We would like to come the day, you know, hopefully things get better, we could come back and take the child. Why they didn't decide to discuss this with the Rav beforehand and just dumped it at his doorstep, I don't know. But, and within the note they wrote, this baby was born last Shabbos and needs a bris of Shabbos. So Tzvi Pesach Frank was even debating, can you rely on that to perform a bris of Shabbos or not? Is this a suffix, not a suffix? But to me, the Israeli post office wasn't working back then. But it also shows, you know, wow, you know, how far things have come. You know, Baruch Hashem today, there are many organizations, many things. You know, that was Israel circa, you know, we talk about how far things have come. Have Israel circa 1940. Tune in. Share number 44. Just giving you a little taste. But I want to end two quick ideas. Number one, there's a milah to having a bris on Shabbos. One milah is, as a Magen Avram, the reason is by every bris, what should you be serving at the bris? So we all, bris, that was my whole share. Bris is a bagel and lox. Really, the Magen Avram says, ideally, lox, I mean, you're supposed to not supposed to serve milk, it's really supposed to serve meat. So the idea of lox is somewhat in between. I think we once talked about this in the share. A little bit in between. But really, ideally, you're supposed to serve meat. You have a bris Shabbos morning, you're having meat, you're having cholent. So having a bris in Shabbos, you end up getting really the ideal form of a suda for that bris. But really there's another idea which is fascinating. And I'll end with this. I saw Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Darish Moshe, this week's parsha, talks about bris in Shabbos, and says, really, you know what, there's another reason maybe why a bris should not be performed on Shabbos. Shabbos, we know, is a sacred day that we call an oath, a sign between Hashem and the Jewish people. We have Shabbos as an oath. Bris Milah is also something which is referred to as an oath. But Rav Moshe said that's really part of the Chiddush of the Torah. If the Torah wouldn't have said that we perform a bris on Shabbos, one might say there's no need to. Right? Today we have the oaths. Bris Milah? Well, wait till Sunday. Then I won't have Shabbos. I'll need an oath. I have the oaths of Shabbos. I don't need another oath. Comes along the Torah, you are allowed to perform a bris on Shabbos. You should perform. And that comes out on Shabbos, a special day. If you ever have the schos to be by a bris on Shabbos, it's a double oath. You have the oath of Shabbos together with the oath of Bris Milah. Those two things, in a certain sense, it's a chiddush without the pasuk. I wouldn't think you need it. I would think you push it off. But when once the Torah says you have it, it means a bris on Shabbos is a special thing. It's probably worth the little extra money. You have to have fleishiks, have more people in shul there. It's a special thing to have a bris on Shabbos. You may not have pictures, but you definitely have memories, which will last forever. Thank you very much. Yeah.